The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine is FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, you know who that was, right? None other than the President of the United States. You know, that was a soundbite from him at a press briefing last week on COVID and on the whole vaccination mandates. And a lot of people were surprised at the tone, the anger, some of the things he said to his fellow Americans. But there's going to be so much going on with the vaccine mandates. Honestly, it's really hard. It's hard to keep up with. I saw Catholic Vote. They reported on a poll, and they found that 59% believe that Biden does not have the authority under the U.S. Constitution to order mandates for private businesses. In addition, there was a Washington Post ABC News poll that found among unvaccinated employees, 72% said they would quit their jobs if their employees, if their employers imposed a mandate and offered no exemptions. Yeah, I don't know. I find that really, it's kind of hard to believe in some respects. And I feel bad for people. I'm delighted by the person that can do that. Say, you know what, I don't need this job. I'm going to go find another one. I'm out of here, right? But I think about parents who are paying their kids' school tuitions or their, you know, need two incomes to go ahead and to pay their mortgage or their car payment or to keep their kids in braces or pay their medical bills down, pay their loans off. You know, it's crazy. Can you just walk away? Can you just walk away? I don't know. Maggie, you were just saying you think this is the other side's version of what? Go ahead.
Well, last year, you know, we saw so much unrest in the streets, people going out to loot and protest.
Yep.
It's almost like this is kind of the other side of the aisle's version of protest. It's, you know, we're not going to budge. Fire me. I dare you.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
You know?
I get it. So you're saying those. Okay. So you're saying people say, no, we're not going to accept the mandate and I'm going to leave or you'll have to fire me.
Yeah.
I get it. No, it makes a lot of sense. We had Dr. Aaron Curiati on the program not too long ago. He's a very gifted physician. And he's suing the University of California, Irvine, because they want to mandate the vaccine for him. And he was like, you know what? I've had COVID. My immunity is there. So really, I'm safe. In fact, studies have been done in Israel showing that if you had COVID, your immunity is about 13 times higher than even somebody who has never had it and just got vaccinated. And he says, you know, there was a soundbite I heard him say. It kind of stuck out. And he says, you know, when I signed my contract with this university, I never agreed that at some point in the future they can dictate, you know, what kind of medical care I have under pain of, you know, being fired or losing my job over that, you know, or being censured somehow. And I think he has a valid point. I think one of the things we're really overlooking in this whole COVID discussion is natural immunity. It's something that has just been totally evasive. But that Washington ABC News poll, it found that, again, unvaccinated employees, I was shocked by the number because it's high, 72%. It's almost 3 out of 4 people saying, I'm going to quit my job if my employer imposes a mandate and offers no exceptions. Right? Just a meager 18% said they would comply with the mandate. I don't know how a business guy is going to be able to keep his job if he sells, let's say, meat, right? You got to fly from the East Coast to the West Coast for, you know, your distributor or whatever it is, whatever you're selling, right? Whatever your job is. A lot of people travel for their jobs, you know. What if they issue, you know, vaccine passports or you can't travel interstate? Bishop John Stowe of Lexington, Kentucky, he's told his priests and his deacons in his diocese that you need to publicly disclose what vaccination status you have to your parish. So, you know, you might see your priest, maybe he's wearing a mask, he might be totally vaxxed, Or he may not be. Well, Bishop Stowe of Kentucky, of Lexington, he would like his priest to let people know. The disclosure apparently is so that people can figure out if they're going to receive communion from a priest or a deacon or go to confession for those types of priests. And you know, those clergy who aren't vaccinated or are not allowed to do any ministry to the sick. But and I understand that. I think the bishop is trying to be prudent and you know, protect his flock. But again, if somebody's been vaccinated or they've already had COVID and they have immunity, should it matter? I don't know. Whirlpool Corporation. Let me tell you about Whirlpool. I saw this story here. There's a lot of incentives, right? Remember the lottery in Indiana or Ohio? Yeah, it was Indiana, right? Where they were offering $5 million. I think it was, or maybe it was Ohio. It was one of those states. You know, they were trying to incentivize people to go ahead and to get the vaccines. They, even at one state fair, they're giving out cream puffs if you got vaccinated or something along those lines. Whirlpool Corporation now is offering employees $1,000. You're going to get $1,000 a piece if you get the shot. All right? $1,000. You know, as you heard yesterday, the Biden administration is apparently considering making vaccines mandatory in order for you to fly domestically. And that's an idea that Dr. Anthony Fauci is enduring. And if that endorsing, if it happens, it's going to mess up a lot of people's travel plans, as I said, for Thanksgiving and Christmas. We talked about that yesterday. But who knows? We'll see. We'll see what happens. I think vaccine mandates are coming. I really do. I think you're going to see them. I think you might even see these vaccine passports. There was, I heard a story about a nursing home in Massachusetts, and the owner actually decided to close down. Okay, a nursing home. Because he's facing a staffing shortage. People aren't coming to work. But when the mandate came down from the administration and they said to all these healthcare facilities, look, you're going to lose your funding. We're taking away Medicare. We're going to take away Medicaid funding if your staff is not completely vaccinated. This is the administration saying that you're going to lose funding. So he knew, he did a survey of his staff, and he figured, okay, about 40% of my staff is going to refuse to get vaccinated. So instead of having to fire all of his staff, right, and then hiring new staff, you know, if he could even do that, he decided just to close the facility down altogether. You know, we're seeing this happen all over the country. Completely. Yeah, Maggie, you're looking at me like you're shocked. He just totally shut down that nursing home in Massachusetts. This is the ripple effect of what we're now seeing here. By the end of the month, I had heard that Britain, they're going to have a vaccine passport in place. So if you're going to go over to Britain and you want to party somewhere, go to a nightclub or a concert venue, guess what? You need your vaccine passport. You know, much like France, we talked about France. There are certain shops you couldn't buy your bread or your eggs in, right? Like France, the British government is going to require those businesses to have their patrons reveal your vaccination status or you're not allowed in. And if you let them in, say you're a business owner, you say, ah, come on in. You can enjoy the concert or, hey, hang out in the nightclub or shop here. They find out, that business is going to be fined. And I shared with you, too, before, right, the case of Rutgers University. This is the most bizarre story. If you missed this, I just want to throw this on the table because I have a real problem with this. This is bizarre. Rutgers University. I find this, I'm trying to find the right words for this. They told a student, right, one of the students, they told him he couldn't register for one of his online classes until he got vaccinated. You're like, oh, okay, well, that's the policy on the campus, right? Yeah, but the kid is taking classes virtually. He's in his own home. He's not attending class. He's taking virtual classes. He won't be on campus at all. And they say, no, you can't even watch him. You can't take classes. You've got to be vaccinated. That's what you got to do. You got to be vaccinated. You can't attend class. You can't attend virtual classes. I'm like, are you kidding me? You got to be kidding me. But that's what's happening. Well, I saw a great piece by a contributor to this program, Wesley Smith. And I want to share part of this with you. I'm going to invite him in. If you want to join us for conversation, of course, we'll take your calls as well. There's more than just mandates, right? There's more than, you know, just saying, you know, you need a vaccine passport. I mean, we're talking about people not being able to buy, to shop. We're talking about people not allowed to travel. So you see these new items come in the news every day, right? And I think this is my personal take. I mean, you can agree or disagree with me, but I think for those who have not been vaccinated, life's going to be more difficult. I know some people who got vaccinated just so they wouldn't have to deal with that issue. They want to travel. They want to be around other people. They don't want to feel shamed by not having been vaccinated, even though they've had COVID, you know? Even though they've had COVID and they have immunity. I'm getting the vaccine anyway. I'm going to, you know, it's just not worth it. It's not worth the fight. There was an assistant coach at the Naval Academy's football team who just fired because he refused to get vaccinated. He tried to claim a religious exemption, which the Navy apparently didn't accept, and there are a lot more stories like that. But we also have President Biden's statement from last week when he said that our patience is wearing thin. That's what he said. He says, our patience is wearing thin for those who have not yet been vaccinated. I'm sorry, Mr. President. I'm sorry your patience is wearing thin. I mean, 180 million, is that the number we came up with yesterday, Maggie? 180 million Americans have already been vaccinated, right? I don't, fully vaccinated. It means both shots. I don't know how many of those Americans might already have natural immunity from having COVID. A lot of people have had it. But the president's angry that not everybody has had that particular vaccine. So what this points to is that there is a real totalitarian streak that is running through all of this. Right? That's what we're beginning to see here in the great United States of America. A lot of people have medical reasons why they're not getting vaccinated. There are people who've had it. They got over it, like Dr. Aaron Cariotti, like I talked about. He has natural immunity. He doesn't want the vaccination. He's got some other concerns regarding it. There are also people who have serious religious and philosophical and even scientific reasons that they do not want to get vaccinated. And since the vaccines mean, you know, they're meant to protect you from actually getting the disease, they don't make you immune to it, but they're only meant to lessen the symptoms when you do get it. There are people who'd rather take the chance and fight COVID on their own, let their own immune system take in. Like I said, a great piece written by Wesley Smith earlier today. And we're going to post it on our Twitter page at Drew Mariani and at Drew Mariani Show. Follow us there. Wesley Smith is a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute, a regular contributor here, a bright attorney, a consultant to the Patients' Rights Council. You can follow him on Twitter as well. His handle is at the Wesley J. Smith. It's well worth doing it. He was an author of a number of books. And he just wrote a piece. You'll find it at Human Life Review, but we'll link over to it. It's called COVID's Totalitarian Temptation. And I think he is seeing something that no one else is talking about right now. And I think this is insightful. I think it's well worth the read. Wesley, good afternoon. It's good to have you back.
Hey, Drew. Good to be with you. I have been vaccinated, but I promise I'm not endangering you, even though we're 1,000 miles away. This is virtual, but I have been vaccinated.
You sure? I don't want any unvaccinated people on the show, Wesley. We just can't do that, you know? Isn't that crazy? I mean, Rutgers saying you can't attend class because you're unvaccinated? It's the silliest thing in the world.
You know, it's funny. I don't know. Did you used to watch the TV show Monk?
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with that. Sure.
Which is hysterical. And at the beginning of the pandemic, the cast of Monk, and for your listeners who may not know, he's an obsessive compulsive detective, right?
Yep.
And the cast of Monk did a little vignette. Where they're talking to each other over Zoom, and Monk, who is also a hypochondriac and doesn't want to be touched and everything and is worried about germs,
he
is keeping the computer at 10-foot length, and they keep saying, Monk, Monk, we're over the computer. And he says, I'm not taking any chances. So that's where Rutgers is, I guess.
It's bizarre. I mean, honestly, you can't attend a virtual class because you're not vaccinated. I wonder how far this will go. And I'm curious. I know you've done a great job, by the way.
As far as, let me just get serious a second. This will go as far as we allow them to take it.
I agree with you. You're right. And I think a lot of people they don't want to fight this. I mean, people are going to lose their jobs. I was shocked at that stat I saw where 72% of people were willing to leave their job. Then get vaccinated.
Actually, people have lost their jobs, and it's having an impact on healthcare. There's a hospital in northern upstate New York, in which they have said that after September 24th, they're not going to have babies born there. The obstetric ward is going to have to temporarily shut down because enough nurses and other staffers quit rather than receive the mandatory jab that they do not have the ability to safely deliver babies after September 24th. How's that for promoting good health care?
So what are you going to do in a case like that? I'm sure a number of women will come to the ER anyway. You're going to have to deliver those children.
I don't know. And, you know, upstate New York, it might be more rural than urban and so forth. Yep. The Houston Methodist Hospital fired 150 nurses and other staffers for refusing to take the jab. I think that the people like the president, who think that by wagging their finger and I want to get into the corporatocracy, the idea of the sure. vaccine passports too,
yeah. yep.
but that by telling people either do this or you lose your job or you can't do, you know, this activity or that activity, I think it's going to blow up in their face like an exploding cigar. Because people will say, fine, I quit. You can't fire me. I quit. And then a lot of things that work well will stop working well. We have to be very careful here. You know, this is the United States, and Americans can be very independent. And the idea of pushing them and with threats of jobs, of course, some will take the vaccine. But people who are really serious that they don't want that substance in their body, for whatever reason they may decide, I think many will quit or be willingly fired, and I think it could impact the economy. So, again, an exploding cigar, as in the old cartoons, is something they may need to think about.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love your take. I want to grab a couple calls here in a second, but
sure.
Pandemics. I mean, this is last great pandemic, Spanish flu, 1918, right? But pandemics. Why do they
didn't do anything like this in the Spanish flu? I mean, it was a much worse situation than COVID. But society did not shut down. It kept going.
It did. I mean, in terms of loss of life, you know, what was it?
It was far worse.
50 million died, 500 yeah. million infected, something like that.
It afflicted the young more than the old in the Spanish flu. And yeah. and people were dying very quickly in very gruesome ways. This is maybe 25%, 20%, if that, of what the Spanish flu was.
Right.
But people carried on in the Spanish flu, and society did not shut down.
So, you know, when we come to these situations, a pandemic like this, why does it invite a totalitarian response? Is it because of how panicked people become? And people act very differently when they're under pressure. I remember when 9/11 went down, the towers collapsed. I mean, people were willing to give up their privacy for greater national security. What's this pandemic doing to the psyche of not just the nation, but the world? Is it allowing people to be more open to, as you point out, that totalitarian response?
It's very interesting. I think there's the people who wish to impose authoritarian, often for the right reasons. I mean, I do genuinely believe that in many of these people hope to save lives and this kind of thing. I'm not, you know, no one's accusing anyone of wanting to be Hitler or anything. But there is this idea that in an emergency, government power can expand. And once government power grows, when is government ever given it back? Usually it doesn't. I think Abraham Lincoln was one of the few who was giving government power back after the Civil War. Secondly, you know, we live in a society now, because we are so successful, in which difficulty and which hard times and peril, we don't do well. You know, I think we did pretty well initially after 9/11, but I don't think we do so well today. And I was pondering that, and it reminded me of a book I recently read called The Splendid and the Vile, which was a history of Winston Churchill's first year as prime minister. And his first year as prime minister was mostly taken up with the Blitz, in which 1,000 or so bombers would appear over British cities every night and bomb the you-know-what out of them.
Right.
And Churchill treated the people of England like they were strong, and so they were. I'm afraid that our leaders are treating us like we are weak, and so we are becoming.
Insightful. Let's take a few calls. If you want to join us, it's 888-914-9149. My guest today, Wesley Smith. He wrote a piece called COVID's Totalitarian Temptation. It's now up on our Twitter page. Link you right over to the article. And the Twitter handle's @DrewMarianaShow. Please follow us there and on Facebook. Sandra's listening to us in Denver. Sandra, hi. You're on the air with Wesley Smith. Go right ahead.
Yes. I'm a telecommuter with a very large health insurance company. And at this point, they're indicating that we will need a vaccination as well, even as telecommuters.
Wow. I don't get that. What was the rationale behind that? Why?
Because of the mandate, and they're afraid of the $14,000 per person liability that they're going to incur.
The interesting thing is the mandate really isn't one yet. Yeah. And secondly, there's two parts to what President Biden said he wanted, either get the jab or get a test.
Yeah.
Now, the test, you know, requiring testing is far less intrusive than requiring a vaccine, because a test does not put any foreign substance in your body. You get a swab in the nose, right?
Yeah.
So what I was afraid of when I heard that, in fact, I wrote a piece, Drew and Sandra, a few weeks ago, in which I said, look, here's a compromise. Vaccine or prove you have the antibodies, because as you mentioned, Drew, some people have natural immunity now because they overcame the infection, or get testing regularly. That would allow people some flexibility. When Joe Biden announced his stern, I'm losing patience with you speech, he said, mandatory testing or, I mean, mandatory vaccine or testing. Well, I was afraid at that time that what a lot of corporations would hear was mandatory vaccine and not the testing part. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me that maybe, Sandra, you could contact your HR department and said, what if I provided a weekly test, which is part of what the president discussed? I don't see how they could say, no, it has to be a vaccine, because that's not part of the mandate.
Yeah. And that's where I'm leaning to as well.
Yeah, you know, the question, though, is who pays for the testing? Does the employer pay for it? Is it covered by the government? Or does the individual ultimately have to keep paying for these tests every week? And that can get pretty pricey.
Weekly, right?
Yeah, I don't know. But the government was paying for the testing, early on. I don't know if they still are or not. But that should be part of the OSHA regulation. I don't know if the formal regulation has yet been published. So we'll see.
Hey, Sandra, good luck there. I appreciate your call. You brought up a great perspective, too, because I didn't ever thought about it. I heard the president address the whole issue of the mandate for companies. I understand the companies wanting to get everybody vaccinated, right? If you have 100 employers or more is what he said. But telecommuters, again, Wesley, I go back to the whole point. If the person is living in Maine and the company's situated in California, the chance of you infecting somebody in California is, it's non-existent. So, but, who knows? I guess
they may be worried about the cost of the health insurance so forth. On the other hand, and I haven't looked this up, but as I recall, when the Affordable Care Act was being enacted, they did away with all underwriting except for something like smoking. So I'm not sure the legality of charging more for health insurance because you're not vaccinated. That I don't know that that would necessarily be legal under Obamacare.
Yeah. My guest today, Wesley Smith. Let me take a short pause. We're going to be right back. If you're on hold, thank you. I know you've been waiting. I appreciate your patience. I'll do my best to get you on. Wesley wrote a piece called COVID's Totalitarian Temptation. He's addressing something I don't think a whole lot of people are talking about. That's why I wanted to get you in the know. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. In fact, let's talk about vaccine passports. Good thing, bad thing? Should we accept them? I'll tell you what the administration's saying and more. I'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. Thanks for your patience. I'm going to give you a number. Put it in your speed dial, and you can use it anytime. It's 888-914-9149. And if you missed any of the conversation, you say, oh, I got to share this with my spouse, or I want so-and-so at work to hear this, you can go to my podcast. It's relevantradio.com, right? Just do a search for the Drew Mariani Show, and you'll hear this. Today, we're talking with Wesley Smith, and he wrote a great piece. I think you should read this. I hope you'll check it out. It's called COVID's Totalitarian Temptation. We'll look at where we go from here. There's a lot going on. If you've been following what's happening in Australia, in other places. But the president's patience is growing thin with the unvaccinated. People are going to be losing their jobs. I was sharing some stunning stats about how many people, 72% said, hey, if you're going to mandate it at my place of employment, I'm going to be stepping down. But then I heard Jen Psaki, she suggested that the Biden administration is considering vaccine mandates for domestic travel. I'm not talking internationally. I'm just talking domestic travel. You want to fly from Chicago to New York? You need your vaccine passport. And believe me, I have a vaccination card. I have traveled all over the planet. And, you know, you have your cholera, your typhoid, you know, you name it. Your Hep B, you name all the different vaccines you have to get in order to get into some of these countries. But in the United States of America, a vaccine passport, Fauci is backing the mandate for air travel. He says he would support a requirement for that. And again, you know, are they operating out of a place of goodness? They just want to safeguard America and our fellow citizens? Or is this a step towards totalitarian rule? Is that what we're beginning to see, a degree of that? Wesley, I'd love your take on vaccine passports. How do you read this?
Well, there's two of them. The one kind would be what the private sector would impose. And that, for me, is a threat of corporatocracy, where the government, because it has checks and balances and constitutional limitations, may not effectuate through democratic means. That's how this is all supposed to work, right?
Yep.
May not put in official public policies, but they'll set guidelines and urge the private sector to enforce the guidelines. And the private sector isn't constrained in the same way with checks and balances and so forth as the public sector is. And the private sector can act very arbitrarily. And I think this is a real potential problem. And what's really amazing to me is how many movies have we gone to where there's a corporate governance in the world and how evil that is and how wrong. And generally speaking, the political left has been against corporate power. And now when corporations have, let's put it this way, many of the larger ones have gone woke and are promoting equity and social justice issues, suddenly big corporations are great. So it's a real concern. In terms of the travel restrictions, I really question the constitutionality of that. This is not such an emergency, it seems to me, that it is a reasonable exercise of government authority and power in terms of the Constitution and law to say you cannot get on a plane, you cannot travel interstate unless you have been vaccinated. That's a true totalitarian lockdown, and I don't think that would fly. At least I hope it wouldn't fly. And I don't think people are going to put up with it. You already see even more division than we've had because of this vaccine mandate speech that the president gave. He came into office saying he was going to be much more soothing and calmer and more unifying than President Trump. And I think he's actually been quite the opposite. I think that this has the potential, because you see more conservative states enacting laws against vaccine mandates. So what are people going to do? If they're in such a state where the federal government is saying you must have a vaccine and the state government is saying to these businesses, you cannot impose a vaccine mandate, it puts everything into a huge mess.
No doubt about it. My guest, Wesley Smith, will take a few calls. Lillian's listening in Sacramento, California. She's got a comment for you. Hi, Lillian.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Well, what I was going to say is my husband, when we were in the military years ago, we had a vaccine record book, and it really worked good because all our vaccines were recorded in there. At that time, we didn't have computers. And, for example, I was TB positive, so they had written TB positive. So if I went somewhere else and they wanted to give me a vaccine test, time test again, because I was positive, they wouldn't do it. They would just give me an x-ray. So there are some things that are good about keeping a record.
I think people should have records, but absolutely, should the government force us to keep a record? And there's also a huge distinction here. Your husband was in the military.
Yeah.
There's a certain loss of civil liberties when you join the military, and that's one of the reasons we thank people for their service, because they're sacrificing. Yeah. But to have average people, the citizen, be required to act as if they were a member of the military service, I think is problematic.
Yeah, I mean, my daughter was in the Marines, and she told me that, you know, at their boot camp or whatever she went through, they lined her up, and she was like a pincushion. They gave her so many different vaccines. It was ridiculous. She didn't even know what she was getting. I'm sure they told her, but, I mean, she says they gave them one right after the other. So it's a good point, Wesley. Mary's listening in Illinois. Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Obviously, there's some people that consider themselves woke. I would prefer to say that I'm awake. Mm-hmm. Meaning, I see what's going on, and I do hours of research. And it's a much bigger issue than what's taking place with just a vaccine, in my opinion. Okay. As a faithful, practicing Catholic, I will not get this vaccine. I've done the research. I know that it's affiliated with abortion, every single one available in America in some form. And when the woman you spoke with earlier mentioned that she thought it was a protest like the BLM did this past summer,
right.
People need to know it's so much more than that. It has nothing to do with protest. It has to do with our faith, eternity, our souls, saving freedom for every American. My husband and I are both employed. We may both be out of our jobs.
Wow.
We both have children in college.
Mm.
But we look at it as white martyr. We are willing to sacrifice for our souls and for the future of this country. If people would take time to research, not the censored stuff, not the stuff the government is forcing upon us to listen to, but truth, listen to the doctors that created the vaccines, if you call them vaccines, they're really not,
right.
But listen, do the research, find out what's going on in the
right.
world.
Right.
We need to save this country or we're heading to socialism. Right. We're heading to a new world reset.
Right.
It's so much bigger. But it's not a protest.
All right, Mary, thank you for your call. First of all, I'm sorry for your situation. I really am. Having kids in college and how expensive that can be, and for you and your husband to choose not to get the vaccine and maybe lose your jobs, that's a difficult thing. I want to be fair, though, to both sides of the argument here. And, you know, the USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, even the Holy Father has come out and says, you know, in view of the gravity of the current pandemic and the lack of availability to some of these alternative options, you know, you have Pfizer and Moderna, that you can take that vaccine because, you know, there's a remote connection to the morally compromised cells of compromised fetal cell lines. J&J is much closer to that. And their position is supported by two documents, one from the Pontifical Academy of Life and one from the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith. And the second document came at a time when Benedict was still on the throne of Peter himself. So, but I you have the absolute right to do that, and you have you can exercise your conscience, and you can do that. There are other people who are saying, you know what, I'm going to get the vaccine because I'm concerned about, you know, the elderly I live with, et cetera. Wesley, you heard what she said, and people are
right.
doing this. She's a case in point where morally she wants no connection whatever to the abortive fetal cell
line. And that should be her right as an American.
Right.
Just for your listeners, Charlotte Lozier Institute,
yeah.
which is the research arm of the Susan B. Anthony List, and David Prentice, who I'm a good friend of, I think he's been on your show,
yeah.
They've put together a list of the vaccines and how connected they may be to potentially unethical practices. And if people are interested in that, they should check out the Charlotte Lozier Institute, and they'll be able to find it. My understanding, and this is from Charlotte Lozier, not from me, is that Moderna and Pfizer were not developed using those decades-old fetal cell lines, you know, and those things
yeah.
have been, that fetal cell line has been maintained for decades.
Right, right.
Although I think one or both may have been tested on them. And Johnson & Johnson has a more direct connection, but people some people may not feel safe with the vaccine. As the caller said, she feels she would be sinning terribly if she took those vaccines.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not up to the government to say, well, that's tough. You know, it's up to she to work that out in her conscience, talk to her priests, talk to her doctors, and so forth.
Yep.
That is what freedom of conscience is about. And this is not smallpox. COVID is not smallpox. It is not the Spanish flu. It is, we have never in the history of this country had a national vaccine mandate for every man, woman, and child or close to it. You've had local mandates, for example, the case you hear often cited from 1905, which is Jacobson versus Cambridge, or Cambridge versus Jacobson, I forgot which it is. Mm-hmm. That involved Cambridge, Massachusetts, a city, engaging in a vaccine mandate for smallpox because there was an emergency outbreak there, and state law of Massachusetts permitted it. The U.S. Supreme Court said that's not unconstitutional, but it didn't say any vaccine mandate could be passed anywhere based on nothing but the fact that there's a disease existing. So this is very important stuff. And people who think that this caller is wrong, and therefore she shouldn't have the right to make that decision, are really against the American tradition. Think about World War II. You had religious conscientious objectors in the middle of a existential threat to this country at war, because religious free exercise of religion was so important that pacifists based on religion were able to not fight in World War II. That's how important we take that issue. And anyone who says that, well, who cares what she thinks and who cares about these fetal cell lines, is un-American, in my opinion.
Yeah, Mary, thank you very much for your call. I'm grateful for it. It's good to hear from you. Let me open your mic, because I know you're looking for the audio. I don't know if you're going to find it. Maggie is my producer here on the show, Wesley. And we were talking right before the broadcast about a podcast that she heard. Share with Wesley, share with everyone, because I think this is really an important part of the conversation about the parasitic language that's now being used.
Sure. I was listening to Jordan Peterson's recent podcast with Dr. Randy Thornhill. They were talking about death, disease, and politics. At one point in the episode, they talked about how the social climate that evolved in Germany just before the Nazis took power, and in Russia before Stalin took power, there was this habit of using what they called parasitic language, where those who were infirm or handicapped were considered, quote unquote, a parasite to the state. They were, yeah, they were a drag on the state. And obviously you can see that in their actions then, you know, trying to exterminate them. So I just,
that
you
was
know,
the basis of the eugenics movement,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like we hear that everywhere today.
And what I think you're getting at, and I don't think it's become as extreme as eugenics or anything of that sort, but when you have the president basically telling people with vaccinations that all inconvenience is because of your neighbors who are unvaccinated, trying to turn us against each other, it is incredibly unhealthy. And again, often health and safety become the pretext for authoritarian impositions. And that's why, you know, there are three tribes, Drew, yeah, and Maggie. There's the pro-vaccine, pro-mandate tribe. I've got a vaccine and you're doggone going to get it too. Then there's the anti-vaccine, mandate tribe. You can't make me. And then there's my tribe, pro-vaccine, but anti-mandate. And that's, to me, the American way. That's comity. That's respect. Otherwise, we're going to get to the place where reasonable, yeah, people can't differ without staying and stay friends. It's just a very, I think, precarious situation. And the potential for authoritarianism and social discord, I think, is greater today, yeah, in part because of how this COVID situation has been handled than any time in my lifetime. And with regard to Anthony Fauci,
yeah,
Anthony Fauci wrote a piece in Cell last year. I was never part of the Anthony Fauci chorus, but I've become a distinct non-fan.
Right.
But he wrote a piece last year in the science journal Cell. It was an odd place to put it. And in this science journal, which I picked up, but the popular media didn't, he said that, with a co-author, that we are entering an era of pandemics. Now, that means he wasn't talking about what we should do about COVID. He was talking about what we should do, writing about what we should do after COVID. Wow. And he advocated literally strengthening the United Nations and the WHO to, quote, rebuild the infrastructure of human existence, close quote.
Wow.
Do you understand what kind of a centralized technocratic control that would entail? And he basically wrote that we have to change the way we live, how we interact, our relationship with animals, how we eat, and so forth and so on. The same attitude is now being reflected by people who are fighting climate change or global warming. And they are saying, look at how people acquiesced to economic shutdowns, right? Mask mandates. Now, masks are not nearly the intrusion of a vaccine, the vaccine issue and so forth. And they're saying, gee, if they would do it for COVID, they should also do it to stop climate change. And now there's actually a idea that was just promoted in Nature. Nature is one of the world's most preeminent science journals. And that was that we each be assigned a, quote, personal carbon allowance, PCA. It would be almost, I equated it in a piece I wrote for National Review. I equated it to the old rationing coupon books during World War II. You know, you could only have so much meat a month. You could only have so much gasoline a month during World War II because all of the resources needed to be put into the war effort. Well, this would be those kinds of coupons on steroids, because the PCAs would use AI. It would use facial recognition. Wow. It would track. They would have apps that would track your buying and selling of gasoline and other things. And you would only have so much carbon emitting activities permitted per month. And that would probably include eating meat. So you can see where they want to take it if we let them. And the issue is, are we going to let them?
Yeah. All right. My guest today, Wesley Smith, thank you for your patience. When I come back, we'll jump right back into the phones, take your calls. I'm approaching the final segment of our time together today. If you missed any of the conversation, relevantradio.com, go to the Relevant Radio podcast. Just do a search for my name. You can download this. Maggie will have it up in about an hour after we're off. If you're just joining us, we are taking a look at the debate right now, or really the totalitarian specter that's looming regarding COVID.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Fact-driven, faith-informed, unfiltered. The Drew Mariani Show. Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com.
Yeah, hey, thanks for joining me. We are taking a look at COVID, and it seems it's an ever-evolving conversation, isn't it? With the current administration talking about vaccine passports and mandates and, you know, people are willing to lose their job over it. I shared an ABC poll that talked about how 72% of employees who are not vaccinated, don't want to get it, will lose their job. We heard from a caller a little bit earlier. Wesley Smith, who is a very gifted author, an attorney, he's a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. He wrote a piece called COVID's Totalitarian Temptation. And he did it for Human Life Review, and you can find it. We linked over to it. Just go to at Drew Mariani Show, and you'll find it. But author of a number of good books, too. I want you to get plugged into those before I run out of time. You could check out one of his latest. It's called Culture of Death, The Age of Do Harm Medicine. A great read. And just go to his website. You'll find a lot of other stuff there, too. Wesley, I want to jump back into the phones, but I just want to pick up on one point before I know the calls will take us away. It's not just COVID that you are concerned about when you wrote this article. You also wrote a piece for the National Review, I think it was last week, stating that COVID isn't going to last for that much longer, but climate change can last for a very long time, and that governments are going to use that for control. Just for another perspective outside of COVID, what do you see looming in the future, and what threats loom to individual freedoms?
Well, they want to be able to take the techniques of fighting COVID and apply it to climate change and global warming. I just mentioned before we broke that there's this idea for these individual apps that we would have the personal carbon allowance, which would basically control our behaviors. And what they want to do is turn the climate change or global warming issue, not only from an environmental issue, but into a public health issue. Get it? It's a big public health issue that will require draconian work to fight. And if you doubt me, 230 of the world's medical and bioethics journal issued a joint editorial. That's unprecedented. And I linked to it in this National Review piece, which is on the corner, or you can go to my archive at thediscoveryinstitute.org and find it. And they basically say, quote, to achieve these emission reduction targets, governments must make fundamental changes on how our societies and economies are organized and how we live. Governments must intervene to support the redesign of transport systems, cities, production and distribution of food, markets for financial investments, health systems, and much more, et cetera, et cetera. That is another way of putting what Anthony Fauci said to stop future pandemics, rebuild the infrastructure of human existence. So what they have, and what happened is they saw that people were willing to give up certain personal liberties to fight COVID, and now they want to segue from COVID as eventually this pandemic passes or at least eases into an endemic circumstance, and then take those same strategies and apply it to global warming. And the beauty of that, Drew, is that's a decades-long project, not two or three year project. It's a project that would never end. They say they want to get to zero emissions. How is that even going to be possible? So that would be a technocracy internationally that would not abate in our lifetimes.
Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. Randy is listening in Cascade, Wisconsin. Thanks, Randy, for joining the conversation.
Hey, Drew.
Hey.
Hey, Drew. Thanks a lot. Hey, listen, some of your callers, they really nailed it. Mary, I mean, she pretty much said everything I was going to say. Your guest, your producer. But, you know, going back to this whole COVID thing, I have not known one person who's died from COVID. It's gone through my whole family. We all got through it. I get terrible chest colds whenever I get it. It didn't affect me at all. But I have known some people who've gotten very sick and even died from getting the vaccine. So although I'm not anti-vaccine,
right,
I don't plan on getting it, just because of that. And like you've been talking about, it's turning into a totalitarian state. And I don't want to take too much of your time. I'll leave you with this one thing. I've been studying this and looking into it. And there's an investigative journalist. I believe his name is Jonathan Otto, if memory serves. And him and a whole, I mean, there's a whole slew of doctors, pretty courageous guys, because they're getting there, you know, they're getting censored and everything else. But they're putting out some really, really good information. And, I mean, that's without my head exploding when I hear our current president say what he says, you know, instead of being concerned about our troops in Afghanistan and the people over there, he's wagging his finger at us because we didn't get a shot in our arm. That's pretty much it. Thanks a lot.
Randy, thank you. No, I appreciate it. I'm going to let Wesley respond to you. Then, Wesley, I have to tell you something that just happened to us with an article we posted for you. But go ahead. I'll let you respond to Randy.
I did have a friend who recently died after getting COVID and had strokes from it. Yeah. I think we have to be careful when we talk about people dying from the vaccine. These vaccines are, from the evidence I've seen, very, very safe. Nothing is 100%. So I think take that statement very carefully with a grain of salt and do your own investigation. I took the vaccine and I talked to my doctor about it. My doctor was very supportive of my receiving it, and I did, and I had, I had the chills, you know, and the minor problems that they said I'd have, but it's been wonderful. I think the vaccines have saved a lot of lives, and I don't think we want to act as if we're being anti-vaccine. We're being anti-mandate.
Exactly, and that's really the heart of this conversation. It's not about the vaccine. It's about the mandate. And I Father Ubald, who was a good friend of mine, and several others succumbed to COVID, and it has taken a lot of lives. So to your point, Wesley, I do think that the vaccine has saved a lot of lives, and there are a lot of people with comorbidities that I think should get it. But, of course, you're going to need to talk to your physician about that and make an informed decision. We just tried to post your article. Was it Maggie, open your microphone if you could. You tried to post, Wesley, listen to what happened here. We tried to post the article I just referenced. That was last week's article by Wesley Smith, Maggie?
Yep, the humanlifereview.com, COVID's totalitarian temptation.
Share with them what happened. Share what went down.
Well, I just posted it 38 minutes ago on our Twitter, and I said, at the Wesley right. Smith is on the line with right. us talking about this article. And when I go to our profile, it's not there.
They deleted it. So she called our other producer, Tom, who's working remotely, and he says, I didn't take it down. So this thing just vanished.
Yeah, and
from our Twitter account.
I just reposted it again, and it's not there. So,
there must be some algorithm there from Twitter that's scrubbing you, brother.
Yeah,
they don't like this conversation.
Big brother.
Oh man! Talk about totalitarianism.
I wear their scorn like a badge of honor.
Well, you retweeted it, so I'm going to retweet your retweet.
Yeah, I did.
There you go. There you go. Well, hey, Maggie, thank you for the heads up. That was fascinating. A little conversation we were having while you and I were on the air, some of what goes on behind the scenes. I only have a moment left. I want to give you the final thoughts. My apologies to everybody who's on hold. I'm going to revisit more of this conversation. But, Wesley, the platform is yours.
Thank you. I just think these are very the American people want to be free. And totalitarianism is a communicable disease in some ways, just like COVID. So I think we can maintain our liberty and we can act responsibly. Let's treat us like adults.
Amen.
I think we'll get through this okay. Be careful.
Yep.
Decide for yourself on the vaccine and don't treat our fellow Americans, whether we've been vaccinated or not, as if we're enemies.
Bravo. That's Wesley Smith. You can check out his article, COVID's Totalitarian Temptation. You can follow that at our Twitter page. I'm out of time for the day. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you. Have a good day.